welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this July 23rd, 2025. Have your host, James, with you. We're joined today by Wood County Board Chairman Lance Plimmel. Lance, always good to see you. Thanks for being here.
James, always great to be here as well. We
also want to say a big shout out to Taylor and our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media being here. We always appreciate you guys. Do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube, type in your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to that page, and keep up to date on all the cool things that they are doing in the community. A lot of great new stuff that you guys have been doing, too. I've really appreciated getting that inside look that I personally love. A lot of the camera angles have been amazing, too. You guys have been doing some great work over there. Check that out. Everybody get on over there today. Lance, I know how busy you are, so I can only imagine how much we have to talk about today, but I don't want to keep you all day, so we'll kind of limit this a little bit. I want to get into some meetings that are coming up and some of that. We've got a lot of local things happening. Let's rewind a little bit first. We just got done with the biggest water ski show tournament in the world that we get to host for 59 years, 59th annual it was. Next year is going to be a big one with 60, of course. But just looking at this one, talking to a lot of local leaders, talking to people in the community, seemed like a good one. Seemed like everything went really well. I know our local teams did pretty good too.
Yeah, you know, it. Having been there, not for the first tournament, but I've been going to that tournament since the late 70s. It's a remarkable event. I've seen that expand, from a couple of days and some people on the beach and a little bit of enforcement to a really top-notch tournament.
That's really cool to be able to have seen it grow.
And to see the growth, and I was just talking to Taylor, to see the municipality, the city and the county being featured on some of the different media outlets they have. Visit Central Florida comes in, and they always had a camera. We were just talking about this. They had a production trailer in. They were running multiple cameras, multiple angles, and between every show, all they were doing was talking about the community. Mm-hmm. What a great place it is to live. Not only the water ski capital kind of Wisconsin, the world, the biggest water ski tournament in the world of any kind, but the largest producer of cranberries, a great place to live. And I couldn't have bought that advertising for hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it was free. And I think what it really points out is we have a real lot to offer here that people don't even think about. It amazes me. We've talked when I hear people say, well, there's nothing to do this weekend. I said, really? If I tried to go to everything this weekend, there's no way in the world I could make it. And then, like I said, we have the largest water ski tournament in the world, a free event to the public, free event. And I'm amazed at the amount of people I'll talk to in town and say, I didn't even know that was going on. Yeah. And I'm going, well, I don't know if that's our fault or if you need to pay a little bit more attention. But, nobody had a problem spending $30 to go to, a Tommy Bartlett or a SeaWorld or some show. And yet you have those shows on steroids right at your own lake in your neighborhood. And that's just the start of it. Powers Bluff, with the bike races we've had up there, bringing in competitors from all over. I understand we have the National BMX Championships coming into Wisconsin Rapids. There's something all the time, every weekend.
Well, our area has a lot to offer, and we've been able to promote and show that more and more over the years. And I think that the area has stayed pretty consistent regarding that is also something that a lot of people have brought a lot of people to the area in that. Not only businesses, as we've seen in recent years, and more businesses popping up, but just individually people coming to town and being more and more of that.
Well, James, and you bring it into focus. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I'm looking at James across the desk, for those of you watching us on public access, and it says locally grown radio. That local news, that local flavor, I mean, that makes such a difference in the world. So you know what's going on, and you guys certainly help bring that to the forefront.
One of the things that I also wanted to get into, and again, real quick, congratulations to everybody involved with the Water Ski Show Tournament.
Yeah, the Aqua Skiers, by the way, local, and I'll give them a shout-out. Yeah. With a relatively small team from a number of competitors, finished second. Remarkable show. I mean, almost perfect. I mean, it was an incredible performance on their part. Kudos to them. In the tournament as a whole, I mean, you had, I don't know how many actual skiers hit the water. I've heard there's numbers around 2,500 between all the teams. And there wasn't a serious injury when you look at not only how many, but what they do and how they perform. Right down from our sheriff's department, our parks department, rescue squads, the tournament committee themselves, just a remarkable event.
To that point as well, all the volunteers, a big thank you to everybody that helps make that go on. And thank you just to the community, period. I haven't gotten to talk to Sean that closely or anything like that, but from what I could tell, no major incidents, nothing like that. And that's noteworthy when you're bringing that many amount of people coming into a town and some of those things. So that's wonderful to see. And another successful year in the books. Looking ahead, we got some great events coming up as well. Also have some meetings coming coming up that I wanted to get to and just let the audience know about. I'd like to do a better job of this myself personally when we're hanging out with you, Lance, and just reminding everybody that there are these public meetings that are going on. And as we hear more and more people, everybody's got a megaphone now. Everybody's got a megaphone. It's called social media.
Yeah, they're on TikTok. They're on Facebook. Yeah, you name it.
Everybody's got
there.
One. And I am in some ways proud of that, of our country and what we have and the freedoms we have and that ability. And at the same time, that comes with a responsibility. You want to be a dog and bark. Okay, maybe know something. Go to these meetings, find out some things. And I encourage that just as much as I encourage people to voice their opinions and be an adult when you're voicing it. I encourage that. But at the same time, I think that covering these meetings, like they're coming up a little bit later today, you've got you already had your Aging and Disability Resource Center meeting.
That was this morning. Yeah,
that was this morning. Yeah,
that's a consortium we put together a number of years ago. I actually chaired that committee when we put that multi-county consortium together. It provides a portal to all those services that would be provided, you know, whether it be on that aging side or the disability side. The whole goal was to have a number you could call, get steered in the right direction, and then for the different services they provide. And the interesting part of that is we put that together because the costs obviously keep increasing with everything. We put that together with the hopes that we would find some, you know, economic efficiency there. And it has. I think last year was the first time we increased the county's contribution to that in probably 15 years. Mm. And the increase in contribution from a county's perspective was 5%. And that was, spread over 15 years. So tremendous amount of work they do. And again, their number's published. If you have any questions, they'll steer you to the right places. And it's a portal.
Tomorrow morning, there'll be a Conservation, Education, and Economic Development Committee meeting at 8 a.m. Other meetings coming up, Wood County Library Board will be meeting tomorrow at 6 p.m. and some other ones as well. You can find all of these and more at woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov. And if you were not able to attend meetings in person, they do a great job of notes on these. And you can, go to Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. They record most of these meetings. You can catch them there. It's where I do a lot of my homework for these interviews.
And we use too many acronyms everywhere we go, but tomorrow morning, CEED, it's the Conservation Education Economic Development Committee. And one of the things they're dealing with tomorrow is we have a fair amount of dollars that we allocate every year to different organizations, sometimes communities, to foster economic development within the community. And we try to allocate those dollars to places that will at some point have a return on investment. And so one of the things they're doing tomorrow as part of that meeting, or maybe it's, even after that as a separate meeting, is to start to determine where some of those dollars are going to go. And it's multi-hundreds of thousands of dollars that go out to help, fuel some of those projects that might otherwise not happen in the community. And then, you touched on some of the things like library boards. Running for election isn't always easy. You tend to get lambasted. You get criticized. You have to have pretty big shoulders to sometimes stand there. But there are opportunities in places like, some of our wildlife committees, our library committees. There's a whole bunch of those out there, aging disability resource centers, where you don't need to be an elected official to be appointed to those committees. And so if you're somebody out there in the community that has interest, I would give me a call. Send me an email, shoot me a text, do something, because we are always looking for, not just bodies, but qualified and interested bodies to serve on those different committees, commissions, because you do make a difference in the community.
And it's a great way to make an impact. And it doesn't, to a lot of people out there might not realize, being on these boards, more times than not, are not a huge time commitment either.
Of them are an hour a month or 2 hours a month.
Yeah, I encourage people to do that. It's a game changer for you as well as for your community to be a part of. Lance, also wanted to talk a little budget with you as we just got done. Another notice I saw from the website here that there were some budget changes to human services and some of that. How are as budget talks just in general going? It's such a big question and a wide one, but how is some of that going in recent meetings?
I'm laughing. It's going good. I hate budget time like everybody else does.
I was
just like at home.
I
just hate it. And it's kind of funny because years ago, we counted pencils, paper clips, stuff like that. And my bigger picture is the number black or is it red? Mm-hmm. Do we need to increase the levy? Don't we need to do that? And so one of the things we do at county board meetings, and I find it kind of, I almost laugh at it at times, we have a number of budget amendments that occur during the year. And the budget amendment typically isn't necessarily, it doesn't affect your tax rate, your tax levy, but it's additional dollars that come from the state or federal government that are earmarked and allocated for certain projects, we actually have it. We actually have to amend our budget to accept the dollars. So it always amazed me. So we have to talk about taking 200 grand to run the program. I would get if we had to come up with 200 grand, right. but we still have to do that. So, you know, that's part of that amendment reconciliation process. But we are in that budget process, and I think we're looking pretty good this year. The interesting part is, you know, nobody wants a tax increase, myself, you know, included in that group. But when you look at, you know, I just look at my service here over the years, the cost to put a truck, a highway truck on the road, you know, bare bones right now is $250,000. You can be close to $500,000 before you, you know, fit it with all the equipment that they need to have out there. That's substantial. Mm-hmm. You know, what it costs to pave, just overlay a half a mile of road is just unbelievable. And, you know, we try to hold those rates down. I assume we're going to be very similar this year, you know, to last year in that respect. We try to never increase our budget ever more than 3%. But I think if you look at the cost you've had at home with inflation and some of the other stuff, it's far exceeded that. Mm-hmm. So it's always a difficult process. The committees right now are putting together their budgets. When they come up with what they kind of identify as their greatest needs, it'll eventually end up at our operations committee, which takes all of those different committee budgets, looks at them, puts the puzzle together, and then you kind of say, what can we do? What can't we do? Because we also work under some restrictions as to where our tax rates and levies can go, which isn't bad, no. But it still makes it difficult at times.
Yeah. I appreciate that insight, Lance. It's one of the things that we started this conversation talking about what a great city we have, how people want to come here, visit, maybe move here and stuff. That costs money. I don't know how I don't know how much more blunt I could be about this. I don't know what is going through some people's heads sometimes when it comes to paying taxes or any of these things. This is the world we live in. This is the this is just how things work. And part of what brings people to this area is the money we have spent on this area, including our roads and some of the programs we have and some of these things. It costs money. And to me, and not only I want to remind everybody you can't take it with you, but that's what this is all about. This game that we're playing, this thing of life is about advancing life, making life better for each other, making life better as a whole, working together among these things. It's not who has the most toys at the end.
Yeah,
it's
and how do you gain
it's not who saved the most money on their taxes or who's paying the least amount of taxes. Every person out there, it's a road that they're driving on right now that is frustrating them. And you also have a road that is awfully nice. And you know the difference of these things. That's tax dollars. It's just one tiny example.
Yeah, and we look at, you know, efficiencies. How do we cooperate, whether it be, you know, the city, Wisconsin Rapids, the villages, the towns? You know, a great example would be, I'm just using this as an example. That doesn't necessarily even exist. But, you know, if Port Edwards bought a wood chipper and the town of Grand Rapids bought a bucket truck, neither one of those uses those 365 days a year. Do both of them need to have both of those pieces of equipment? And by the way, that doesn't mean they even have those. I just use that as an example. But why not share those? Mm-hmm. And you can bill out the hours you use those. And so, you know, we look at that. How do we make that happen across the board? If two communities have a bike trail that doesn't connect and there's a quarter of a mile between them, how do we bring that together? How do we find dollars to make that whole thing come together, which benefits and enhances the quality of life in our area? Yeah. So we look at those quality of life issues. You know, when we have people come to town, they go, you know, where's your pool? Where's your skate park? Where's your BMX track? Where's your, you know, what do you have out at the lake? Mm-hmm. Besides the things like education and transportation, I can tell you our highway department's done a remarkable job on that. If you see a road that needs improvement in the area, it's probably not one under our jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. It's usually a state highway. And it's kind of funny right now. The other day, I actually tried to drive up 73 from Rapids to Marshfield. Don't try it. Mm-hmm. I went around the first two barricades, kind of seeing what they were doing. Don't do that either. But I got to the third one, you're not going anywhere. So the point is, you know, those just as an overlay, you can be in excess of $500,000 a mile. Now think about that. That's a lot of dollars when you have a road that's 25 miles long, and that's one. So yeah, the money doesn't go as far as you'd like. Obviously, we try to, you know, use your dollars as effectively and efficiently as possible. And then people say to me, well, why don't you save a bunch of money, and then when you have it, spend it later. And I'm going, well, that means I've taken the money out of your pocket, putting it in mine, and holding it till I may need it. Mm-hmm. I'd rather come and ask you for it when we have a project such as the jail.
Right. And you teed me up perfectly.
Yeah, I was trying.
Nicely done. Nicely done. For one, I was going to say sometimes you do have to spend money to save money. And that's not a phrase I think that is common enough, but that's what we did with our jail, where we spent a good chunk of change here, but we also did it to prevent us from having to spend, bleeding money, really.
Yeah, the additional cost was about $20 million mm-hmm. over the cost of those 20 years. And, you know, for those of you, many of you had the opportunity to tour that jail. But what amazes me is obviously we have people incarcerated and you see them in cells. But what you don't see is what happens behind the scenes. I mean, the size of the kitchen and that operation to feed that many people three times a day, 365 days a year is incredible. And then you look at the laundry. I mean, you think to yourself, there's a cell, and what else are they spending money on? And then you start looking at intake and monitoring and the laundry and the food operation. And it's a huge operation. And yet, all that being said, with the way we can now monitor prisoners with the pod situation, we're not transporting. We were looking at, you know, a newer facility versus the upkeep on the other one. The cost savings over that many years was about $20 million. So that's significant.
Mm-hmm. And leading into that, wrapping up with you, that is, Lance, the courthouse project, wanted to touch on that, how that's been going.
Going well. So there were probably, we got a big HVAC system upgrade there. So we had boilers in the courthouse mm-hmm. from the 50s, way past their life expectancy. You know, originally that courthouse didn't have air conditioning. They put air conditioning in. At that point, they sealed the windows. Couldn't open those, but then as our HVAC system gets old, it would have been nice to open the windows some days,
yeah.
But that couldn't happen. And so we have an upgrade going there, and that's about a $3.5 million project to redo that. But those boilers are, you know, 70-plus years old, and then you have to do all that. And we have a similar situation up at our Northwood County Health Annex, Norwood, most of you would know that as, where we had an issue there with piping, some of the old pipes corroding, stuff like that, and that's a $3 million project to take care of that. But again, when you have people housed, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, project has to get done. So yeah. That's where your tax dollars are going amongst some of the things you see out there with the parks and some of the other things that everybody uses.
Well, and earlier you said a line, I thought that was a good comment on, you know, you couldn't pay for that kind of advertising. What price would you put on safety? What price would you put on a safer community, a safer for our law enforcement, safer for the people in there, all the above? And then you say something like $20 million, you put a number out there like that, Lance, and that's not just that's added on top of that. Yeah. You know, that's the icing on that safety cake I'm talking about. And those are things that I think that most people can get behind and most people get around to. But I also encourage people that, if you have questions, if you have thoughts or feelings or anything like that, we always like to talk about this stuff. That's what we do as a community. Lance, if people have follow-up questions or want to know more about some of what we talked about today, how can they reach you?
Well, my number is in the directory. You can go to the Wood County website, or you could just Google my name even. But my number's at the directory. My phone number, it's my cell number, my home number, my email address. It's all right there. And the easiest way to find it is just use any search engine you want. And I mentioned one by name, but... But if you just type that in, you're going to find it.
Yeah, it'll pop right
Wood
up.
Wood County, you'll find me.
And speaking of, you can go to woodcountywi.gov to find more of the information of what we were talking about earlier and some other great information there about meetings and public notices and that. Be sure to bookmark that webpage, woodcountywi.gov, along with going to YouTube and subscribing to Wisconsin Rapids Community Media's page. Get on over there, do that. Check out some of the great videos that they have over there. It's some really good stuff and really good information. Appreciate your...
Yeah. Quick commentary. Make sure it's Wood County, Wisconsin. I had some calls last week about Wood County, Texas, and Wood County, Ohio, that don't relate to us.
No, and not nearly as good of a media team. Not nearly as good. None against them, but not nearly
as
good.
I got one of these, what are you doing about the flooding? I'm going, you're in the wrong state.
Yeah, you're in the wrong place. We appreciate you guys. Thanks for the time. And thank you, everybody, for joining us for another edition of WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic, here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.